Da 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 da. Good evening. We're back with another chapter of Bedtime Stories with Thompson. The book we're reading this tonight is The Adventures of Robinson Crusoe by Daniel Defoe. We're reading Chapter 2, Shipwrecked. And Thompson's eating a peanut butter and honey sandwich, so he's a little quiet.
Yeah, I'm a little quiet, I would say.
Chapter 2, Shipwreck. The ship sailing out of São Salvador that sunny September morning carried 14 men aboard, its captain, 12 sailors, and Robinson Crusoe. As cargo, she carried toys, which Robinson planned to use in his trade with the natives. These toys included beads, shells, knives, scissors, hatchets, and small mirrors. Gee whiz, knives, hatchets. Boy, they sure had a different idea of what a toy was back in 1650-something. The captain set the ship's course to the north along the Brazilian coast. Then he planned to head east across the Atlantic Ocean to reach their destination in Africa. On their 12th day at sea, as they were nearing the northern tip of South America, a violent hurricane struck. For 10 straight days, the fury of the winds pushed the ship in every direction. 2 men were washed overboard and 1 died of a tropical fever. From moment to moment, Robinson expected to be swallowed up by the sea. Sails were ripped, masts were broken, and the ship was leaking in several places. By the 11th day, when the winds had died down, Robinson and the captain examined the damage. They agreed that the ship was in no condition to continue on to Africa. The captain wanted to return to Brazil, but Robinson disagreed. They were so far north already, it would be closer to head for one of the British islands in the Caribbean Sea. The island of Barbados was only a 15-day sail. They could repair the ship there. But a second storm hit and pulled them off course again. The strong currents were pulling them east, towards land inhabited by uncivilized savages. The ship was battered about by the winds and the sea all night long. At dawn, Robinson was awakened in his cabin by the cries of, "Land! Land!" He ran up on deck to see where the lookout was pointing. But at that moment, the ship gave a lurch as it struck a sandbar and stopped dead. The sea continued to batter the crippled ship with all its force. As the wind increased, Robinson wondered how much more punishment his ship could take before she broke apart. There was nothing left now but to abandon ship, so the captain gave the orders. The crew immediately began lowering the one lifeboat they carried, and everyone piled in. The winds had calmed down a little, but the sea was rising higher and higher. The lifeboat had no sail, so the men rowed with all their might, but they were at the mercy of the wild sea. Suddenly, a raging wave over 30 feet high came at them from the stern.
"That's the back of the boat, Thompson."
There wasn't a moment for the 11 men even to take a breath before the wave overturned the boat and swallowed them all up. Although Robinson was a good swimmer, he couldn't fight the force of the mighty wave. He sank below the surface and let the wave carry his nearly lifeless body wherever it chose. It drove him towards the shore and left him partway there, half dead with the water he had swallowed. He tried to touch bottom with his feet before the next wave came, but before he could manage it, he found himself buried again in 30 feet of water and carried swiftly towards shore. This time, at least, Robinson was able to hold his breath. But just as he felt his lungs ready to burst, his head and hands shot above the surface of the water. As the pull of the sea tried to drag him back out again, Robinson dug his feet into the sand. But the sea was not done with him yet. Twice more he was lifted up by the waves and carried in. The last wave dashed him against a large rock with such force that the air was nearly crushed out of his body. With a last burst of strength, Robinson got to his feet and ran to shore. There, out of reach of the brutal waves, he collapsed on the sand. After he had vomited out the salt water from his stomach, he lay there gasping in air, trying to catch his breath. As his strength gradually returned, Robinson said a prayer of thanks to God for saving his life. Every single one of his crew had drowned, but his life had been spared. He sat up and looked out to his stranded ship. It was so far out, he began to wonder how he had ever made it to shore. When he felt strong enough to stand up and look around him, Robinson's joy immediately turned to sadness. He was alone here. But where was here? He had nothing to eat or drink. Would he die of hunger? Or would he be attacked and eaten by some wild beasts? He had no weapons with which to hunt or defend himself other than a small knife in his belt. These fears hit him so suddenly that he began running about the shore like a madman, beating his chest and screaming to God, "Why have you saved me only to make me suffer in this misery?" When he had no more strength to run or scream, Robinson sat down on the sand and tried to clear his thoughts. Night was coming on, but before the light was gone completely, he had to find some fresh water to drink. So we walked a little ways inland and found a small stream with cool fresh water. Next, he had to find a place for himself for the night, a place where he would be protected from an attack by wild beasts. He found a large, thick, fir-like tree and climbed up into it. As he tried to make himself comfortable on two strong branches, his mind was filled with thoughts of what kind of death he would die the next day. But in spite of these thoughts, Robinson was so exhausted that he soon fell asleep. End of chapter 2.
And then next chapter 3, starting a new life.
Good night, everybody.
Good night. Good night.